Our guest from India, Sanchita, please stand up.
Hello, Sanchita.
Sanchita, it's like a Spanish name, but she's from Calcutta. She's part of our group in Calcutta, and she's on her way up to the Moksha Mandir. Just passing through, we'll take her up to the village tomorrow. I have some things to say, but not that much, because I pretty much poured it all out the last time, and all I'm going to say is watch the other video.
Well, do you want to do anything else other than that?
She is seriously deferring this one.
Yeah, I'm seriously deferring it. That doesn't mean I won't discover something to say, but I'm seriously. So why don't you just start?
This really looks like a major press conference or something.
I know.
And the video gear and all that.
You know. There's all these little things flashing. And
I've been behind that thing the last few weeks, so yeah. It's different up here.
That's right. It's very tricky the way you did that and played the guitar at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it was what you would just
imagine. By location,
imagine.
You know.
He just came rushing around. The <his guitar.
laughs> Well, should we start?
Start with a prayer.
Yeah. Oh,
then maybe. Sure, yes. Come on, you pray.
Oh.
Yes, because you're good.
The good head.
Oh.
Oh.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Friend, beloved God.
Friend, beloved God.
Great Masters.
Great Masters.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Babaji Krishna.
Babaji Krishna.
Lahiri Mahashaya.
Lahiri Mahashaya.
Swami Shri Yukteswar.
Swami Shri Yukteswar.
Beloved Guruji.
Beloved Guruji.
Paramahansa Yogananda.
Paramahansa Yogananda.
Saints of all religions.
Saints of all religions.
Dear beloved Swamiji.
Dear beloved Swamiji.
We humbly lay flowers of devotion at your feet.
We humbly lay flowers of devotion at your feet.
Be with us this evening.
Be with us this evening.
Help us to...
Help us to...
Channel to all these wonderful souls.
Channel to all these wonderful souls.
The absolute...
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing love and joy.
Amazing love and joy.
That we received.
That we received.
As we gave our love and joy.
As we gave our love and joy.
To all those we met.
To all those we met.
And have now acquired as lifelong friends.
And have now acquired as lifelong friends.
Actually, eternal friends.
Actually, eternal friends.
Some clauses in prayer.
Give us the strength and energy.
Give us the strength and energy.
To carry on.
To carry on.
Your good works.
Your good works.
All over the planet.
All over the planet.
Om. Peace.
Peace.
Amen.
Amen.
You join the ranks of those who have morphed from prayer to sermon.
Level up.
You asked for it.
Do you want to sing first or sing later?
Sure, let's open with a song.
Just because that's the way we did everything in New Zealand, we might as well just,
sure,
we can just pretend we're in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with song.
Sure, okay. So, we didn't pick which one though, so.
So I
narrowed it down to five.
Yeah. Let's do Johnny Anderson. Okay. Just get that out of the way.
Johnny Anderson. I'll go over there.
Forgive the pronunciation ahead of time.
Right.
That's Scottish. I like pre-forgiven.
Uh-huh. Thanks.
Son, my Joe John, when we were first acquaint, your locks were like the raven, your bonny brow was brent. But now your brow is Belgian, your locks are like the snow. But
Blessings on your frosty pow. John and her son, my Joe. John and her son, my Joe, John, we climb the hill together, and many a county day, John, we've had, we ain't a nither. Now we mon totter,
rats,
down, John, and hand in hand we'll go. And sleep the gither at the foot. John and her son, my Joe. John and her son, my sweetheart, when first we two did meet, your locks were like the raven, your bonny brow was sleek. But now your brow is wrinkled, John, your locks are like the snow. But blessings on your frosty head, John Anderson, my own. John Anderson, my sweetheart, we climbed the hill together. And many a lively day, John, we've had with one another. Now we must totter down, John, and hand in hand we'll go. And sleep together at the foot, John Anderson, my sweet.
Like that in New Zealand?
Oh, I liked that in New Zealand. It was so great having time to be there.
Now
you
got to play next to him for 3 weeks.
It's
beautiful.
Yeah. I did that just because it's like, how far can we get without breaking up, you know?
That's far.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good start. Do you want to talk about what it was like for you first time there? Just since we talked once before, you know.
Oh, nice trick.
Yeah.
And I figured it either had to be him or him, yeah. But not me. I'm in the middle.
And I didn't plan my strategy, so I guess it's me. It was fun.
Okay.
I was. Yeah, great.
The bar, was it fun for you?
Oh, yeah, good time. The end. What's it like is such a broad question. I was going to start by telling about things, but I loved just landing in Kavita's house, and just all of a sudden we were a giant family. There are four people who honestly lived there, and then 10 of us most of the time, because there were the four of us also and a couple other people we acquired during the trip, and they were just shifting beds around and people sleeping in the office, in the hallway, and cooking heaps of food every day and running the dishwasher two or three times, and just, you know, all these people living together and having a great time. I mean, it felt like a huge family, because I guess Ananda people are good at being family wherever we end up. I just love that. I mean, it's so easy to travel when you just go in your home, you know, and you're not staying in a hotel or somewhere completely different like that. It's, you know, from what I've heard of the other trip, it's much more relaxing than traveling around the entire country every few days. So in that sense, it was very pleasant and familial and enjoyable. How long am I going to have to go on my own?
That's a good first bite.
Well, so I'll start by rounding off like the other folks who are staying there with us. Because there's obviously the four of us. So to get to 10, then you have Kavita, which a lot of people met June, whenever it was that she was here. And she's sort of the driving force behind Ananda New Zealand in general. at this point, and her husband Arun and her daughters Devya and Veda, who are 15 and 16. And in spite of giving up their rooms to us and Devya sleeping in the hallway because her dad snores, they still baked us just fantastic desserts all the time.
Every day.
It was really incredible. But aside from that, we also had Travis, who is a young Australian fellow. He was, what, 23 or so?
Surfer.
And Nukriya Bon is apparently... nobody out there to help him out in Australia, but he did a lot of stuff online, actually took Kriya with Devarshi online, and then again with us in person. So he came over for, I think, 2 of the 3 weeks or so, and we just stuck him in our house because it was more fun that way. And then a gal named Zebunisa, who found Kavita through this sort of work exchange program. She was looking for yoga retreats to help out with, found Kavita, called her up, and is now living there as basically her personal assistant, her social media expert, her website maintenance person, her photographer, everything. And it was just fantastic having her there. She's a Muslim, but she blends in well with us in a lot of ways. She just kind of gets what it's like to live and work with all us Ananda folks. And so it was a very nice fit. It was also very interesting because, you know, we have a team here that pretty much covers all the essentials that we need to do, but Zeb filled in the gaps that we were just going to sort of make do without. You know, she was our photographer. Most of the photos I've been posting are thanks to her, which is why there aren't actually very many of her. but you can find her in there if you look closely. She was the backup video person when I ran around in front to play guitar, so that was handy. Like I said, she did a lot of the social media stuff for their Facebook sites, mostly for the Narrows Retreat, which is Kavita's place, and Ananda New Zealand. And so it was great, just filling in the gaps perfectly. It's just, you know, we didn't realize there were gaps to fill, and boop, taken care of. So, so that made 10 of us, and that was the usual crowd there most of the time.
Any subjective impressions? I mean, that was just a report on where we were and how we had dinner. I mean, is there more about what it felt like?
With that, it was fun.
I do. Well, and I mean, I think the
first
thing.
Your first trip to New Zealand? Was it your first trip?
Yes,
to New Zealand?
I'd never been to New Zealand.
How did you find the people there? The people attending the classes and stuff. I mean, sort of, what was the?
I'm gonna be careful of anything I say, because if I say it was fun or they were nice, people are gonna get me.
Tandava and I, plus this woman Zeb, who's both a writer and a photographer and everything. I mean, the editor never sleeps. We would go on for long periods of time just over, you know, some wrong usage of word that we'd have to sort out before we could go forward. Or if you just were foolish enough to make any kind of nuance of meaning that didn't quite fit, everything had to stop while we sorted it out.
It's true, it's a frightening group that way.
Dunbar's no slouch either, so, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So why don't you carry on then?
Okay. Well, it was a joy going back again, and just New Zealand itself is such a beautiful country. It's very satisfying being there. For one, the house that we lived in is a beautiful sight all by itself. So Kavita runs a yoga retreat basically out of that house and has her core group of people who come to her classes. There are a lot of yoga classes. She teaches meditation. And it's a beautiful sight. It's right there on a river. It's just idyllic. Chickens walking around, doves flying outside, you know, the house and everything. And
sheep.
Sheep, one, Shrek. The girl.
Is it great?
No.
Is she teaching Ananda yoga now?
Shrek?
Yes.
You mean the sheep don't teach yoga music?
Not yet.
She's pretty smart, but not yet. She's taking classes.
Kavita.
She is teaching, she hasn't actually taken the Ananda Yoga Teacher's Training course.
Of course.
She did come over and to do the Ananda Meditation Teacher's Training course.
Right.
And so, but not yet. She would love to do that, and it's a matter of kind of how do you get away from a month, you know, from family and.
But she's practice. A highly trained yoga
yes,
teacher.
Yes,
I mean, she's not only certified in the New Zealand system, but she's also she's a teacher trainer and a mentor for others.
Yeah.
And what she does.
She does all the affirmations and all that stuff.
She does so, Ananda yoga. No, okay. She teaches Ananda yoga in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I
no, no. She's
using
very,
affirmations.
Yeah. Her whole approach is Ananda approach.
Yeah, it has a sort of a different feel, but with the affirmations.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then this time the focus was more just doing with there. Okay, so there's across the street there is a retreat center that was always there, but this time we actually used it. And so instead of going, you know, city to city to city to city, this time we stayed in Hamilton for the first 2 weekends and during the week. But just did everything at that retreat center. And it's a beautiful site. And I guess it's okay to put on the video, but we, Ananda New Zealand, would love to buy that. It's not for sale, but that doesn't matter, you know.
Well, it's sort of. Doesn't the guy want to sell it?
They sold it to somebody where it didn't work out, you know, so now they have it back again, but I think they would like to sell it. So it's just a matter of, you know, money, of course. But it would be an ideal place. It's just really nice architecturally, beautiful, across the street from where they live, you know, all that kind of thing.
Great big beautiful skylights, tons of light coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very nice. That's where Asha did all of her classes. That's where you saw everything except for the final retreat at Taupo. And then the final weekend, we went back to that Primo Retreat Center, Tauhara Center at Lake Taupo, which it's interesting because the SRF presence in New Zealand does a retreat there once a year.
Also.
So, and the manager of the place is an SRF person.
Oh.
And so he really likes us and, you know, it's just a nice connection there. And they always ask, so when are you coming back next? You know, kind of thing. Once again, it was full. You know, we used all the rooms. We had 26 participants plus 7 staff people.
Oh, that's super.
And it was, you know, Friday through Sunday. So it was just...
Were they almost all people that you had met the first time you were out, or were there new people?
I think it was half and half.
Yeah.
Oh, where? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, I think half the people we'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat. Asha referred to this in her letters, but one thing that was a little different is that the focus of this series of classes, except for one, and then except for the retreat on the final weekend, was all kind of how to deepen your meditation. Right. And so... That sounds really good, and it was really good for the core people, but the nature of that wasn't so much to attract new people,
right.
You know. The final class that we did in the Hamilton area was on relationships, so that attracted lots of people.
We had 35 people.
So there was the thought about, okay, so in hindsight, maybe more of that mix, but it's the kind of thing where you just sort of work with it and learn, you know, what works for that.
There are also a lot of people who are, I guess, calling ahead of time and saying, like, should I take this or should I take your meditation class? And Kavita was really trying to tell everybody, like, come to all these programs, you know, that it's about meditation, we'll meditate, you know, this is the only time these folks are coming through here. But a lot of people were like, no, just give me the techniques. You know, if they think meditation, they just want the thing that gives you the techniques. But then the, like you said, the relationships class was a topic that a lot of people could relate to, whether or not they want a meditation technique. So that had a sort of a different crowd.
And running concurrently with this is her meditation class, which begins on Tuesday, which began yesterday. And so those people who weren't coming, it was drawing to both. So her class had like 25 people in it.
Which is, I think, basically sold out for her house. Yeah.
And people waiting for the next one then.
Yeah.
So if you're watching Kavita, way to go.
Yeah. And she has a Raja Yoga course that'll be starting soon for those people who already have had Med 1, or the Med 4 class series.
And co-teaching the Med 1 class with her is a fellow named Alan, who also took Kriya initiation, and he was, I think, Kavita's very first homegrown from scratch Kriyaban. She taught him Hong Sa, I don't know when, a year or so ago maybe, and he took initiation our first or second week there.
He's so excited.
He has employee number one.
Yeah. And he's already teaching, which is great, and he lives like over an hour's drive away, and he just scoots out there every week for a class or a meditation or something.
He's a psychiatrist by profession, so he's a serious, highly educated man. If you go to the Saturday afternoon class, which I highly recommend you do, he speaks. He's extraordinarily entertaining.
He's the very funny Scottish one
in the
middle.
He's from Scotland. We had to sing John Anderson to him. Talk about apologizing. But he and Kavita and another core person named Marie are all going to Spiritual Renew Week this summer. So.
And maybe two more.
And maybe two or three more if we can.
Disciples, new disciples.
Yeah. So the Kiwis are coming.
Yeah. Yay! Mm-hmm.
What other impressions do you have this time around?
One of the fun things we did was a house blessing for Alan, and it was really a lovely midday celebration. And Audrey made lunch for us, and they made and we got to bless their house, and it was kind of like bringing Audrey more into.
His wife doesn't participate; she supports him, but she doesn't participate.
Yes.
So we got to go to their beautiful new home and. Because it's a distance, and she's raising two children, so she doesn't have as
young
much
children.
Young children. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have as much time. So he invited us over, and gave us lunch, and it's a very harmonious and Alan is beginning to attract people in his town, so there's now three or four of them. So we'll start, we might start going more there. So it's a little, it's a little plant, and it's beginning to.
Getting little.
And more psychiatrists.
Branches.
Psychologists. Yeah. Maybe there's another psychiatrist.
Right.
Excuse me for a second. Are there any psychiatrists in our colony?
Shanti's husband.
Yes.
Barry, he's a counselor, though. He's not an actual MD psychiatrist.
Oh, I thought he was.
I think he's a PhD counselor. It was just.
Because they're all in New Zealand.
It was just interesting. Yeah. I had to stop and think whether there were any. I didn't think so.
No other.
Yeah, I didn't know any Ananda anywhere. I didn't mean to exaggerate it, but I just found it interesting.
Guy in Rome.
Yeah, there's one.
Yes, in town.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, there's one.
Every colony has a unique distinction.
The profile of the people is really exciting too, because they're all very energized, interested, bright, well-educated, rather centered candidates, centered people, and they all have a this or that, like we all do, it seems. To deal with, but that's what's motivating them. Most each one has some sort of karma that they're moving through that's encouraging them to seek us out and be there. So that's wonderful, I think, and makes it so fulfilling when we're there, because they're so kind and very loving souls. We found at the end of the weekend at Taupo, we had all bonded so much, it was really hard to leave. And everyone seemed, I really made friendships, because some of, especially with the ones that I met again this time. And now we're Facebook friends, and now, emails, and they really feel like a part of Ananda Palo Alto, for sure.
And just in general, I got a very friendly feeling from the country. Just, even just strangers you pass by, there's just that extra little level of smile and acknowledgement and stuff that I was noticing.
So it's a beginning, and something we really want to keep moving towards, I think.
I think it'll work both ways, too, where more and more ministers, who can justify the 12-hour flight or the expense, whatever, to get there, will really enjoy going through there. Sanjan has already gone through because he had some family business to do, and they really enjoyed meeting him when he came through. So I think it'll be that kind of cross-pollination where the Kiwis will come here and we'll visit the Kiwis, so a lot more of that will happen. And well, with the internet and everything, it's all kind of distributed around anyway.
And it's a really easy flight.
Yeah,
it's 12 hours, but it's like, whoop.
Yeah.
And though I'm in a fog today, but I don't think anybody else is.
The trick is to just, for me, is to stay awake and not sleep for about 35 hours, and then...
Oh my God!
Really good night's sleep. And it's kind of like, oh, here I am.
Are there plans for you to go back? Or
there's plans for someone to go back.
Someone.
There's a couple of other light bearers. I sent out an email after last trip just asking people who might be interested in taking this on, and I got a couple of fairly solid nibbles. I'm not going to commit until I work it out. But they confirmed before I left on this one, asking me, you know, I'm still interested in doing this. And I said, well, this trip for me was, I felt last time we put a lot of seeds into the ground, and I went to see whether they had sprouted or were just lying there. Mm-hmm. And because just to see whether or sure not course. It was, but I really feel like that things are growing. And it's been less than a year. Kavita was the only contact we had, and now we have 10 disciples.
Yeah, seven people took discipleship.
And it's just, and they're like Atma Jyoti said, it's like there's not a lot of fluff. There's a lot of times that you might have a bigger crowd somewhere, but a lot of the people are either just collecting, mm-hmm. you know, how many teachers have sampling. I seen, how many initiations have I had. But most of the people, almost everyone who comes, has a very solid interest and an inner capacity to actually take a hold and move. Mm-hmm. So that those 10 people, and they represent, resources of talents and finances and responsibility. And Kavita very smartly plans, like, I think next weekend, she's having a little weekend retreat for the disciples. Mm-hmm. And the conversation is going to be then, you know, what can we do to make this happen more? Mm-hmm. Because these first two trips have basically been Kavita and me with the addition of Zeb, who was just sort of our godsend talent person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now that group, and they really will decide what they need to do. And I do think it's really worth Ananda energy. Once we're on the ground, the trip is self-supporting. Except we've had to, meaning from this side, we've had to finance our own airfare and a vehicle. So the group of us, you know, who went this time and who went the last time, we financed that part of it. But once we hit the ground, it the whole thing supports itself. So it's not too bad. It's a $1,200 ticket. If anybody wants to go, even just anybody wants to go, you know, to have satsang, to meet people, we could host you in quite a few places. And the country is a great vacation spot, so, you know, if there's anybody who wants a combination satsang vacation, it's a good thing. But I really believe that we can build something that's worth doing there in that part of the world. Swami started in Australia instead of New Zealand, but it was really just, New Zealand is not Australia, which sounds kind of like duh, but when you're there for a while, you really realize that it's not. From this side, first of all, New Zealand's real small. Australia's real big. and they're quite a distance from each other, and they're very different cultures. I jokingly said lots of times, this trip, you know, I was trying to get to Australia, but nobody wanted me, so I got sucked down here.
That must have been winning.
Yeah. But I think that over time, and Kavita herself, of course, who's rooted there, she is she's a very good teacher, and she'll get better and better. And I think that she herself will be just a really substantial leader there. Alan is very good, and I think others of them will infect. So it's not really like it's going to, it's just going to have to be run from this side. I think it'll take root on its own. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, just one more enclave, because they are so far from anywhere that it has to be inherent. The internet, mm-hmm. of course, makes it work, but it has to come right out of residence. You can't do it part-time at all. Mm-hmm. And then maybe from there we'll get to Australia. Travis is keen, but he's a young man, and he's just, you know, he doesn't have an established a life as Kavita has, so we'll see. But he's a really a dear man. He may come out this summer, we'll see. It's just so fun. Both he and Zebanissa, they just, you know, we'd never seen them before, and we all just went like this. It's so, a spiritual alignment is so amazing. Mm-hmm.
And Travis is musical and plays a guitar, mm-hmm. and he has every intention of getting a harmonium. Before I got off the plane, he'd sent me an email that he's learned listen on the piano.
He's also expecting their first child, he and his wife.
In October, so.
So that's a deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, he really wanted to, when we, he just seemed like an Ananda yoga teacher potential, and it sounded really good. He wanted to do that. He wanted to do meditation teacher training, spiritual renewal week, all those things. But then it's like, okay.
Before the baby comes.
But, you know, he's actually, we didn't do much SRF conversation this time because last time we were in touch with a number of different SRF people as we traveled. Kavita's pretty done with it. She's got it clear, and we just weren't meeting those people. But Travis himself had gotten qualified for Kriya through the SRF lesson. You know, as we mentioned last time, the monks in SRF, only the monastics can teach, and they come to that part of the world, I think it's once every 4 years, mm-hmm. for 3 days. So it's, you know, it's, there's not much chance. It's a long wait. But also he got connected with Ananda. Devar, she told me about him last trip, but he wasn't able to get across the water. But he really wanted to understand, you know, just going in through the SRF lessons, it's like, what is this with Ananda? And so he had the integrity that he wanted to find out for himself. Mm-hmm. He just couldn't make sense of it, so he just came to be with us. I really respect that. He just bought a ticket. We thought he was coming for 2 nights, and she arranged for him just to stay with a friend of hers, and then she realized he had an open-ended ticket. He was staying as long as we were.
But he wanted to travel with us.
He had that kind of mind. He just was like, I really need to understand this. So he hung out with us the whole time, and we talked a lot. It was really interesting to see what it looks like from someone who has just been introduced to SRF and knows nothing. It's a very tough situation, because he would just kept offering back to me perfectly reasonably, well, didn't Master say this? Well, didn't Master do that? Well, didn't Master want this? Well, didn't Master want that? And, you know, you look at him for a minute and you realize, well, he's just read the SRF literature and that's what it says. Mm-hmm. And then you have to just assert sort of boldly, no. Of course, then why are they publishing that if it's not true?
What kinds of things?
Didn't Master want SRF to be the only one? Didn't he want Kriya to just come through there? Didn't he really want only monastics to teach? Wow. I mean, you know, just go right through the whole line. Didn't Master determine in advance all the future changes that would happen in all of the books? See, that's how I always respond, too, because I've lived with this so long, and also, I mean, unlike some of you, but not others of you, I also watched the myth develop over 40 years. So it wasn't even just watching it, but I watched it grow. But he wrote to SRF. I read autobiography, I want to take the lessons. He qualified for Kriya through SRF. That's what, 2 years, 3 years of lessons? That's a lot. He started very young. And so what do I have to say except no, it ain't true? And how do I know it ain't true? Well, because Swami said it wasn't true. And it's just, he was honest enough, he was both open-minded and honest enough to be a really interesting test case for the whole situation. And then when he starts into the Bertolucci lawsuit, and, you know, he was very open, and we were all very open. It's just, it's, I know why Swami never put the issue down. It's like, we're so narrow-minded, really, and thinking that it's so obvious, but it's not obvious at all. Not at all. And I also realized, as I realized, unfortunately, every single time, the whole thing traces back to whether Diamanta is who she said she was, or who the organization claims her to be, and even depends on whether or not she's an honorable woman, which is why Swamiji went after her so intensely. There really is no other answer. And ugly as that is, and as much as we don't want that to be true, fortunately with Travis, because we were all good friends and we'd been, you know, laughing and having dinner together and just hanging out day and night, and he'd seen us all, you know, I want to say really in our jammies, you know, we were just all had been in our jammies together, so we were
literally, that's how I met him.
So there was no chance, nobody, it was no possibility of putting on a front. And he was astute and he noticed. But I just said, you know, the answer is, yeah, I really get this, but it's very helpful to me. Partly because in this book that I'm going to write, I have to really deal with a lot of these issues. So he was godsend because he was thoughtful, intelligent, and open.
Wow.
But not credulous. Not he wasn't going to go, yes, ma'am, if you say so. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, so it's just one more little thing that we have to play out. I mean, my point of view is, you know, the present Swami's generation has to die, and then my generation has to die. But I have a mea culpa here to offer, because I said many, many rude things about SRF, many rude things. And then I picked up an SRF magazine, and there was a
said
really...
said rude thing about it, too.
There was a really good... and said a lot of rude things about it. And then there was a really good article in there by Marina Lini Mata. Mm. So I think I have to write her a note. I've never written her a nice note in my whole life. But she was... it was very good. That's all I had to say.
Good start, Phil.
Anyway, you go on with your part. That was
My observation is that you run into SRF there more than I do anywhere.
Well, because anybody who's with a master is going to be SRF.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's lots of ways to get into it, but there that was the only one. Because, you know, Nanda's been zero. Yeah. So what was your impressions besides objective facts? Did you have any nice personal experiences besides having fun? What's your point of view on Master's work? Give us a little more. Why are you guys so shy all of a sudden? What is this?
Let's talk about it.
No, tell us more about what
started. I'm kind of curious about your like foreign travel experience. Like, have you been to like
me personally?
Yeah, I've been to other very random countries. Or was
yeah,
because I know
I've been to semi-random countries. Yeah, and maybe not that. I've been to Romania.
Like, did it feel very foreign, or was it just sort of like America where you drive on the other side?
It didn't feel hugely foreign to me. A lot of it kind of felt like a little more tropical California. But Asha said something about how, you know, it's definitely not Australia. One of the things we joked about a lot on the trip is Australia is kind of famous for having a lot of things that can kill you. New Zealand, there are no poisonous...
snakes, scorpions, yeah. Not just criminals.
Yeah. That too. But New Zealand, no poisonous snakes, no poisonous spiders, no bears, no tigers, no... I mean, just nothing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because that... I don't know, it kind of overall has that more relaxed vibe like you have when nothing's trying to kill you. And there's that... it's just yeah. Like that sort of underlying... that underlying layer of peace, you know, that is sort of inherent in the entire giant island.
Right.
You know, it's what, approximately the size of California, I think? It's a little different shape than it, so it's not... tiny.
Did you feel like more calm there as a result? Like just sort of a, you know, just less static? And...
yeah, I think so. And I mean, everybody.
That could have to do with East-West.
But the people.
Yeah.
Talk about the meditation. Talk about leading meditation.
Right. I mean, a lot of people observe that the meditations get very quiet very fast, even if you have a lot of beginners in it. Mm-hmm. So the last weekend at Taupo, we had really a mix. We had a few Kriyabans and we had some people who had never meditated before. And I was the one leading the sadhanas, or the meditation part of the sadhanas. And it's kind of like, whoa, what do you do with this? And Kavita had said, you know, just lead Hong Sa, you know, from scratch so everybody can do something. And if they know how to meditate, they can ignore you. You know, and I did that each time for what we have, 3-4 sadhanas or something over the weekend. It was amazing when you have 30 plus people in a pretty big room and we just sit down and we chant and it's quiet. And it's just quiet to the point where, especially the last day, it was hard actually to keep leading or saying anything because I didn't want to talk into that.
Silence.
You know, yeah.
I mean, real silence.
You know, if we had that same group of Americans there in America, you know, I would have felt like I had to be saying something every couple of minutes just to, you know, stop them shuffling their feet. Whereas, like I said, it's hard to actually get my voice going again, you know, every few minutes to remind them, you know, focus at the spiritual eye, do the mantra. It's like, I don't want to do this. They're meditating. You know, so, and, you know,
yeah.
It was, yeah, so it was really something.
Mm-hmm. Every group we had, even just for a regular talk, this was true the last trip too. For some reason, they just know how to get still. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we were not wearing earplugs, just 30 people in a room, absolute silence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very impressive.
So is it a less restless culture, is the question that comes up?
You know. God knows it's a less restless country. It's just, especially...
That's a low bar, too.
Yeah, it's a low bar. I think it's several things. I think the atmosphere is just less frantic. Of course it's less frantic.
Mm-hmm.
I think nature is very harmonious there.
Mm-hmm.
And more so. And I think the people who come are serious. You know, so all of those things combined. One of the reasons why it feels like there's potential. Yeah, but
people who live there are happy to live there.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to a expat from the UK. You know, a lot of Brits are there from the UK. They moved there, and I just said, "So what? You know, why'd you move to New Zealand?" And she said, "Well, I just, you know, came here once on vacation or whatever, and just got off the plane and said, 'Wow,' you know, and just never really left."
Sometimes if you have a really nice place like that, you find people are a little less interested in the path because it's just nice. I mean, it's relaxing and beautiful. So what's the...
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think I may have said this when I was going to go last year and it was just beginning and it was just like, what the heck? I couldn't get to Australia. Let's go to New Zealand. Bara told me, who'd been there. He was one of the few people who'd ever, that we knew at that time who'd really been there. And he ran his nature programs there and he was not optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he drew very large for his nature program, 300 or 400. And he said the percentage, usually when he has a large group of nature lovers, there's a reasonably solid percentage of people who meditate. And he said there were almost no people in that whole crowd who meditated.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was a number of years ago. But I just said, huh, isn't that interesting? You know, that was when we were mounting the whole first trip. Huh, isn't that interesting? So I think there is a complacent element there too, but we just didn't meet it. You know, the people who came to us were not those people. It's a very comfortable life. You know, the government does a lot and a lot of other things.
But people are people and they still have their issues.
You bet.
Sure.
Yeah, which, I mean, it surprised me because you'd think, oh, beautiful place, everybody's content.
I think, you know, that's what it is. The people have issues. It's a beautiful country and a beautiful place to live. But there's a lot, it's a social, because of the socialism, they have a lot of programs. So people seem to have issues like anxiety and depression. There were several mentions of that word. More of the things that are intellectual or that someone like Alan would treat. A number of the people really came with deep feelings and deep compassion for themselves and those around them that are suffering in some way. And I think that's kind of a next level than you find, really.
Well, nobody comes to us whose life is really working.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to.
Why bother?
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be disintegrated. You might catch it just before it falls into shambles in front of you. But if life is working for you, why would you come?
Right.
You're still in the stage where it's all, you can still control it and it's all fine. Something has had to crack that illusion of personal power, or else you don't look for God.
And so I think they're beginning to really search and seek out a way, and that way seems to be meditation. It's very similar to us in that way,
mm-hmm.
where I think this must be happening on the planet.
And there's nothing anywhere like Master's teachings, which is, you know, what we always find out. There's nothing anywhere. And we were pretty cute as a group, you know.
Speaking of which, are there other schools of meditation, you know, Buddhist meditation, around there?
And there's a lot of Indian groups that have ashrams there. I mean, it's not unknown. It's not California, but it's by no means unknown. No, people are quite sophisticated. Everybody's sophisticated. 90% of the people there have a passport because if you want to go anywhere, you have to go somewhere else.
You guys are an unusual group. You're all exceptionally verbal and quick.
Except
and intelligent. I mean, in a way, it's a very appealing to people who are searching on the spiritual path because you're all also very clearly intelligent. So. I think
she was the heart. She's always the heart.
She's always
connection.
Very intelligent.
I don't know about that.
But I can see why people would be very attracted to that.
And it's nice to just be available for people who wanted to ask whatever random questions they had. And,
Did you notice any difference, Sasha, this time from last time in terms of the quality of questions or attendance? People
were much more at ease, even people... What's fun, and I think I wrote you this, even if you're meeting new people, they come in at the level that you... When you're building something, you build it to a certain point, and even if it's an entirely new population, it starts where you stopped. It's like a strange psychic law. It's like the whole thing has reached here, so nobody's going to come in except there. Even the ones who've just walked in the door are the next level is. I don't mean that they're all taking discipleship, but their receptivity... I had so much trouble getting people to just warm up and open last time, and it was still true. We really figured out, Atma Jyoti figured out, with the basket, with the pieces of paper where they could write their questions, they would scribble them all out, but very few people would articulate them. But they were happy to scribble. It's a very good technique.
Raise their hand.
No, they did. But still, people laughed a lot more easily and were just kind of with it. And so the biggest difference was there was a certain level of trust of the whole situation somehow. That would be actually the word. People trusted the situation a little more, which was very helpful. And I think in time, and I think Kavita has a very open-ended potential, and she is really serious. She's a very serious woman, and she's very serious about Master's work and being Master's disciple. And I think that she's just going to hang in there, and we'll just keep pushing this, and the right souls will come.
And if you get the great good fortune to be one of the team that goes with a teacher like Asha, you come home with big lessons again.
Like what?
Oh, no!
People want to know from you. They really want. They want to feel.
Well, I still noticed I need that. I have different habits, but it wasn't such a big thing like the last time. But this time it was. We did a session where we each shared how we came to the path. I really had never thought that much about it. Just a little bit from, say, the time I read the AY, and then what happened after that. But then I got to thinking about my whole life. I didn't really share this with you guys, but I mean, I got to do the exercise in order to be on this panel. I had to think a little bit about, okay, what did bring me to this spot? And it was just an amazing lesson because I realized like lights went on. Because experiences that I had were not about the experience that I had. It was giant pointers that led me to know that my purpose in life was to find God and that the only one who knew was Master. After having done all these things and had, losses and change and travel and a great deal of study about everything, the pointers that I got from this illness and that death and that change and this whatever, it all came. Then when I got there, it was like, oh, and I didn't even notice that. I mean, know that till after this experience, how I just thought my life went along and I was good and bad and good and bad and blah, blah, blah. But every single step led me to where I am today. And that was, it could have just knocked me to the floor, really. It was such a big discovery. So I encourage you all to go back step by step. And it wasn't anything like being in a counselor's office or a psychiatrist's office where they say, go back and review your life, or let's review your life because maybe that's why you pick your nose or something. You know, it wasn't anything like that. It was just a revelation how God was coming to me each time and either saving me or moving me forward or doing something, getting the karma out of the way. So, never give up, I said. Never give up. Mm-hmm.
That was Saturday of our Tapa retreat that we had the panel. And that was kind of a wild card. We weren't really sure ahead of time how that was going to go. It was kind of an experiment that Kavita...
Well, Kavita clearly realized that she wanted people who were closer to the people in the room than me. So she had Alan and herself, and then the three of them.
So we didn't know how that was going to turn out, but it turned out to be just one of the really gripping, especially her. She ended up being last, just kind of a random way that it ended up as to who went, you know, in what order. And it's really good that she went last because we've since given her another spiritual name of Kleenex Mata.
No. Saint Tissue of the Zoo.
When you're as old as I am, though, and you've had so many little this is not, everyone in the room had a little of this or that.
She started out by saying, I'm the oldest person here, and I've lived longer than all of you, so more has happened to me.
But it's great. And, and you know, then we had a concert, and then we had a fire ceremony outside, and so by the end of the night, it was just like, wow, you know, grace just really infused itself today. And then it just continued. It's like SRW, you know, it just kind of builds. And so by the time Sunday came around with service and then the final circle and all that stuff, it was just like...
But by the time Sunday came around, then we had 7 people who stood up to be disciples.
Yeah.
It was like,
what?
We didn't know ahead of time who would do it.
That's great.
Yeah.
It was quite something. But it was actually interesting because the retreat last, 6 months ago was also good and it moved everybody a lot. Mm-hmm. But just characterized by the 2 women on Saturday morning who hadn't expected it to be so much about God and were ready to leave. And one of them took discipleship. The other one wasn't...
She understands that has something to do with God.
No. But I mean, she shifted that much. But the other one really wanted to be there, but circumstances didn't allow it. But there was... It was a very unusual weekend. You know, sometimes God just brings a particular group together, and I mean... We've all done weekend retreats or day-long retreats, and there's almost always a special grace to it. But even in retrospect, this one had, I think it was because it was a real, it was really a taproot. And so there was just this vibration about it, and the connections between people and everything. It was really quite unusual. I wrote to you about that Saturday program. I mean, how many in the course of all these years' times have I sat there when 5 or 6 people got up and told their stories? It's always good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it'll come through in the film or not. I don't know. But it was just, it really felt like there was just some other dimension that was needing to express itself. And the 5 of them were just part of it. I was supposed to speak afterwards, but I didn't. We just instead did a meditation, some visualizations, sending energy to each other. And there was absolutely no place to go in words.
Well, I will say, though, that what you did, having seen what Grace was doing, you just took that and wove into it, you know, all the things about where we were trying to go that weekend and just brought it up even higher. So that was... Really
God
special.
Bless. You can turn to these 2 men and say, would you please sing this? Would you chant that?
We did Love as a Magician after that, and, which was excellent.
I mean, Asha was brilliant. I mean, we didn't do karma, reincarnation, death and dying, and blah, 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 and all the courses we always do. She just, I don't know, nailed it, like they say in American Idol.
Oh, wow, I didn't know it was that.
They're not idols, they're ideals.
Yeah.
It was absolutely the grace of God, because I was a little... I was seeking you shall find, knocking you shall be given a lot of times there. But, you know. Because the idea of, you know, taking people progressively into deeper meditation, and I mean, I've talked to Kavita about this, it was a good idea, but it wasn't an idea that was exactly grounded in the people we were serving. So the first day of the first cycle of that was very well attended, and it worked really easy because it was self-evident. The second day was a little harder. The third and fourth and fifth were like...
Well, then we needed those classes.
Well,
yeah.
But then it was like they weren't really a group of people with a good sadhana, and so there wasn't really... So I was a lot of help. and so I had to find it. But the Saturday retreat, something just came in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was just...
And it was very interesting, because it was no holds barred. There was no trying to bring people along kind of energy. It was just, it was like any advanced group of devotees. In fact, mm-hmm. after the morning, I had to say to people, you know, I'm extemporaneous. You see, I don't have any notes. I'm telling you what the room seems to want to hear. But you all should know this is not small what's being put in front of you. This is really the real deal. And if you feel like this is a lot, it is. And don't think that by the afternoon you'll have it all covered. Because it wasn't so. But it seemed to be ready to happen. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. you know, then it's just magic how things just come. Like that afternoon worked so well, then Dambra and this beautiful hour of music, and then we just went outside to this gigantic, big orange, big log fire that we'd already set. Perfectly black sky, absolutely clear, filled with stars. Everybody all bundled up in the cold wind, and you know, part of just a sign of how the energy was working. For some reason, groups of people always have this peculiar physical dynamic that I'm always working with. And we took all those people on pilgrimage. You'd have 35 people, and they'd walk into a small shrine, and the first four people would walk 2 feet into the room and stand there. It would drive me absolutely crazy. There are 30 people behind you. Where do you expect them to stand? And I would, and then you'd ask them to move, and they'd move. And you can see how irritated I got over 12
inches.
They'd move 8 inches, you know. And finally, you have to physically grab them and push them to the far wall. You know, everybody make a circle, and then you look at them and like, what about make a circle? Do you not understand? But we went out to that campfire. They were shoulder to shoulder, just being. I was a little late getting. I mean, I was a minute late getting out for one reason or another. I came out. There were 30 people shoulder to shoulder in absolute silence, which it sounds simple, but it just was a sign of just the fact that somehow there was something else going on, and it was just manifested by that. And then two of the woofers who helped run the retreat there, the volunteers, they just wandered out there too, and they got sucked up into the energy. But it was interesting. After it was over and it slightly dispersed, everybody was bundled, so I really wasn't looking. But there was just like, that energy was just a little like this. It was just a little different. And then I looked over at them and I realized they were not us. They were somebody who just dropped in. Mm-hmm. They didn't disrupt it. But after it was over and a few were still standing, they were just vibrating differently, and it made me appreciate how everybody in the circle was just, had just got the same vibration. That's why we feel very, very optimistic, you know, even if maybe we could have had a slightly better, different program, but it worked. And Kavita has very good intuition. I don't always understand her intuition. She's a little Indian for me, but, you know, but she's very, very good with it. So it's one of the reasons why I said, let's just try it.
I felt like intuition was something that came up a number of times. I remember that fellow kept talking about it, the ideas he was having for his racehorses and stuff, his intuition.
Right.
But just other things, I remember, I can't remember who it was now at this point, but this one lady had decided just at the last minute to go to one of the programs she wasn't going to go to. And she wondered if this other lady she had met at something else was going to go also, if she would like to come. She didn't actually know where this lady is, so she decided to just drive there. And found that lady's house where she had just decided that maybe I will go to that after all, because she had been planning to, and then took her along to the program. Wow.
Well, actually, I've quoted, the Swami said New Zealanders tend to be psychic.
Yeah.
It's a characteristic of the Maori tradition. He says you'll find when you talk to New Zealanders all over the world, they'll have more psychic and expanded like consciousness experiences than many other cultures will. Mm-hmm. That might be, and that was also one of the reasons I thought why they meditate so well. Mm-hmm. That there's just something there that just they're not quite as locked in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The culture in a certain sense is seamless. Like it's the same language, and it's almost comprehensible. We got used to the, just only every once in a while, you'd have to ask them to repeat. It's utterly modern, and it just functions just like America. So that's one of the reasons the travel is so simple. There's no sense of cultural change. You could be anywhere in the U.S. almost, but then there's that just slightly different vibration, which is in a very pleasant one for people mm-hmm. like us. A very, very pleasant vibration. I feel very at home there. Mm-hmm. I had that strongly on whatever it was, Sunday morning of the last day. I just suddenly felt like, oh, this is also about me. I hadn't felt that so much. I'd enjoyed it, but I just suddenly had a sense of something there's something very real here for me also that I wasn't that aware of. I couldn't name it, but I felt it. Any more?
Maybe that's why it was at Sunday morning that the idea of, you know, like, okay, would it be time to turn this over essentially to other
ministers? Oh, no, that was long in my head. It's really about writing the book. Yeah. If I didn't, I really need to write this book. And so I just don't want to have it. Once I'm really writing and have a sense of how that's going, but I haven't made any commitments for the rest of the year outside of the U.S. I don't consider travel in the U.S. to be travel. It's not a passport. It's not travel. But.
So you mentioned woofers. Does everybody know woofers here?
Yeah.
What that means?
No.
You are.
We have woofers on the farm.
So
yeah. Workers on organic.
For videoers it's willing workers on organic farms.
Oh.
So basically volunteers that just love to work on organic farms.
Or somewhere.
Yeah. And other places. Yeah, I guess there's some sort of program which would connect people and organizations.
Yeah. And worldwide organizations.
Worldwide. The world, well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because so many people want a vacation in New Zealand, all of the retreats are run by woofers. You have a few paid staff, and everybody else is from God knows where, and they're just passing through the country and they're helping. I mean, it's a very positive economic system. Some of the ashrams and two of the retreats that we were at, and Zev, you know, these are just people who just look at this chart, and there you are, and... Well, we have them now at the farm. It's a great deal, and people just tootle around the planet, and everybody wins.
This is a part of what made the Tauhara Center at Taupo feel kind of familiar. It's like it's kind of like a little miniature expanding light, and they even have the Karma Yogis coming. They just call them woofers.
That was just in terms of grace. We'd mentioned Zebenisa and Travis, but just having them just kind of be angels that just sort of dropped in as part of the team. From the get-go, that was kind of like, wow, God is just really good at having planned all this out perfectly.
Yeah. Another hand to carry the books.
Lots of boxes of books.
Anything like what? Do you have anything more personal to say, or what the trip meant to you this time?
I'm wondering why there's such an emphasis to the men about insisting that we share personal.
No. If there were women sitting up here, it's a chair you're sitting in, it's not your gender.
Okay.
Swap with Amajoti.
I think people just want to know. That's all.
Yeah, we can read about New Zealand on the net.
Yeah, they just want to
hear. Like how big it is.
What was the experience for you?
Oh, for me, I was just drawn to it the first time because I love outreach and new places. And, you know, what I found moving to Portland and then being in New Zealand also, two things they have in common. One is gorgeous, green, lush countries and really heartful. And I don't know if those go together somehow or what, but People have just, I mean, people have good hearts everywhere when you get to know them, but there's just something about going to a new country and just meeting devotees that are just wide open, you know, and really a joy to be around and really fun and hanging out in somebody's home also. So that was really special. I felt really cared for as a member of the family. And we mentioned food a lot because we were really well fed there with really good quality food.
We're very chubby right now.
Yeah.
Actually, at the beginning, people just kept showing up with food. And we brought dinner on Wednesday, and Josephine brought it the next time. And then Josephine sent over date cakes. And there's a fruit called feijoa, which is like a pineapple guava.
Yeah.
And there's a season when you don't harvest it, it just falls off the trees. So there are
like
a lot of
feet deep on the ground around
so
the trees.
The feijoa is just, you know, every time we turned around, there'd be another big bag of feijoas. Just especially that first week, just everybody was just...
And Asha made everything under the sun. She looked up on the computer for the recipes for this fruit, and she made, she canned it, she did
chutney,
everything.
The feijoa chutney was excellent.
Chutney. Yeah. She made, they made feijoa pizza.
They did
everything.
It's all going to run.
Veda and Devya made apple feijoa crumble.
Yeah.
And the first night we were there, they made a trifle that had papaya, feijoa, and a few other things, and then I can't remember.
But it was a generosity. It's the country's a little old-fashioned in that people carry food to each other's houses a lot. You know, it's sort of that kind of hospitality, like I'm going over there, I have to take something sort of feeling. And just the, what do they call it, a chili chest?
Like
the
chili bin.
That's just a nice chest. But the chili bin is what everyone calls it. So people are always bringing a chili
keeps
bin.
It chilled.
Yeah, a chili bin. A chili bin full of food would just pop in and, you know, just the whole,
yeah.
The Australians call it an esky, for an Eskimo. Eskies.
But it was part of the, you know, it's just a little slower and a little more old-fashioned and very sweet that way. But go back with what
Let's talk language.
Okay.
So the trunk is the boot.
Of course.
You put things in the boot. And the garage is the garage. And my favorite personal thing this time around was Travis, our, you know, big surfer Australian guy. You know, when it's this day to go to the bus station to go to the airport to fly back to New Zealand. You know, we've shared time for a couple of weeks and all that. So we, you know, we're singing to him the goodbye song and circle around him and all that stuff. And then... you know, there's hugs for everybody. And there's some Maori words for hello that you hear all the time. Kia ora?
Kia ora is hello.
Kia ora is hello, welcome. And so you see that everywhere. And then there's a song that got sung to us that's kind of a general, you know, love, friendship, joy kind of song that's in Maori. So I thought... Travis, he said something to a couple of people as he was going around the circle getting hugs, and I thought it was maybe an Australian word, you know, that meant something esoteric that I didn't understand, and it sounded like avocado. And so he you know, hugged a couple of people and said avocado.
That was so funny.
So when he, you know, so we hugged too, and then I said, Did you say avocado to a couple of people? And there was this kind of Bertie Wooster sort of like disconnect of what are we talking about? And then I realized that what he was saying was, in his Australian accent, have a cuddle. That was sweet.
There's a number of people in the group who are counselors. Travis is a counselor. He works with older people, with autistic children. He's a very, very interesting young man. Yeah. Uh-huh. I saw him. It was so sweet. There was a woman at our retreat who was, she was a singleton. She came by herself. She had no previous connection. And she was just kind of a singleton in her nature, a bit older. You could just see you could see from looking at her that probably a lot of people didn't appreciate her or quite know who she was. She was very, very sincere. And I came in a little in the morning, a little bit late, and she had asked Travis to play music, and Travis had just picked up a guitar and was just strumming a little. And I came in and She had her back to me. I couldn't see her at all, but I could see his face. And he just looked like an angel. Mm-hmm. It was so touching because he'd never met her before, and she wasn't a person that you would, but you could just see the quality, you could see the quality, Travis's quality, because he just, it was just no barriers. He just was giving.
And no one else in the room.
And there was no one else in the room because they were sitting like this, and I just came in the door, so I looked over. Mm. And he didn't relate to me. I was just able to see him. It really
how
brought
old did you say he was?
23.
That's oh, yeah.
Especially
but it just brought tears to my eyes, also because you could see he was giving her spiritual energy. Mm. But just pure love. Mm-hmm. Just the life is it's really poignant at times. You just see how much, Atma Jyoti kept mentioning, everybody has issues, but what you really see is mm-hmm. that everybody's lonely and needs love. Mm-hmm. And my, just from Friday night to Sunday, the way people's faces changed. Mm-hmm. And from the first visit to the second, we were debriefing, just comparing notes. Just especially the people who took discipleship. Some of them we had just met, but a few of them we'd met the last time. It was like, these are not the same people. Mm-hmm. In just a few months of relating to Master, mm-hmm. just, you know, eons of suffering. Well, I think we all know yeah. it. It's like, whoa, there is a door.
It's quick moving.
That's mm-hmm. It was so fast.
Yeah.
Even after all these years, to just see how fast. It's like we're all these little pent-up angels who are just, give us a little crack and we'll just bust right through those doors. Especially if the environment is safe, which it was there.
And they felt the truth. You know, they really felt that this was a way for them. I just instinctively, whenever I would speak with anyone, they were just really... Master must have dropped us there and sent these people, because it's not like the usual, you know, Med 1 where, you know, 5 of the people might go on or 3 might go on.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they like there the whole room was going to go on.
They're a bit pre-selected. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it also is because it's a new... So I've noticed, actually, now that I think about it, every time we've started something really mm-hmm. new, I mean, every time, but I remember at Ananda Village when you'd start a new program or something, your first crowd was always, oddly, particularly strong, because it's like the as it begins, so it continues, so there has to be something. But you count that in 5 or 6 or 7 or 10, it's not like it's hundreds, but that's enough. Especially when I think of those 10 people getting together, and I know who they are, and when they say, what shall we do next, you know, there's going to be a real response. One of the ladies who took discipleship actually worked at the bank, and Kavita just was, you all met her the first time when they were going to get change.
Shocking. Yeah.
And then I saw her the last day when we went to return some of that change, and she ended up taking discipleship. She came from the bank. And she just, and when we went back at the end, she works 10 hours a week in the bank, and there she's been there every time we all go in, you know?
Right.
And Kavita is great about just talking to everybody she runs into. We mm-hmm. hiked up to the top of the highest falls in the North Island, and which is like an hour and a half hike up there, and there are two tourists up there, and by the end of our stay up at the little observation platform, Kavita had invited them to the program and everything, so just everywhere, never missed an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. There was a woman friend, I won't name her, she was sometimes not always, she didn't always gauge the situation properly, this is from a long time ago, but I remember we were with a group of people who were really not all that interested, and we all became concerned, and someone said to me, she's into the footnotes of the autobiography. But Kavita was more sensitive than that. But she, you know, because she seems like a quiet person. And that's what's interesting about her. She's actually a little bit shy, and but not when she's talking about Master. Mm-mm. She was absolutely fearless. She would just really, mm-hmm. literally talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And totally go into it. She just has this singular call in her nature. Fascinating to see.
Swami's disciple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. much more. I mean, I'm much more hesitant to do it. She never hesitated. Like the tourists up there and some you know, backpacking traveler we saw in the park, you know, she's just giving him a comp to the program.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that girl at the garden.
She didn't come, but none of them came, but it was more interesting to see Kavita.
She, and sometimes she'll turn around and I'll see her profile or her back and I see Master.
Yes.
Because she has that
like Master.
Hair. I mean, she could be his sister. I don't think that about all the rest of the Indians I've met, you know, but it's just right there.
Yeah.
Her she's wavy, from three curly countries. Hair.
She's from three countries, really. She grew up in Fiji. She's Indian. Gujarati? Is that what
yeah.
they are? Mm-hmm. Gujarati. Grew up in Fiji and then came to New Zealand just before for college. So it's you know, it's the World Brotherhood scene that you're watching. That's the part that's yeah. relevant. You're just this very interesting combination where all these cultures are just getting all mixed up. Mm-hmm. And now she's really hooked up with us who are American, and so it's just a whole other aspect.
What struck me too, Travis, you know, just in talking about Australia, just said offhand, there's a real need for this. And that's as much as I know about Australia. But it makes you realize that, you know, there's a lot of people out there. You know, I don't know if we take it for granted, but we've been around it so long that we just kind of like, whew, thank God I'm here. It's so great. Love to share with people when I can't, you know, whatever. There's a lot of people that just still haven't heard. And just imagine what it was like for us or what it would be like if we hadn't heard. You know, there's a huge number of those people in places like New Zealand and Australia. So it really makes it a worthwhile venture that people really open up to and respond in a big way. Let's sing another song.
Yeah.
The school song.
Yeah. No, not that young.
What is our school song?
What do you want to do?
What was that line that we would say if we were got
we'll
in a place that we didn't
song.
Want to
yeah,
be in?
We will now sing the school song. Right. I thought that one of the letters.
He's voting for
God's call it in. Let's say
no,
that.
No, do the new guitar thing. No, do it to death.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's pretty
special. Two votes.
Yeah, it's
we'll sing you to death.
All right. This isn't necessarily the end. It's just like, let's play another song.
Death is the final.
But death is the death. There, yeah.
That's true.
These are new guitar arrangements you're hearing. Nobody's ever really tried to put this together for this piece. So Entombed has created this while on the road.
Oh. Along with others.
And there are just a few things. You know, all we have is a guitar, so.
You can't really play the kazoo on this one. It doesn't work. So.
Yeah, not so well.
Though we did develop a conch along the way.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Someone gave us. And I read that it's pronounced conch.
Oh,
a conch shell?
A conch.
Yeah.
Oh,
a lot of people, but,
so is it okay to say conch, or should we say conch? Is it, you know?
No.
Okay, so anyway, so somebody gave us this beautiful shell. I mean, just, you know, gorgeous. But they really wanted us to, you know, turn it into whatever you call the thing that you blow. So it's just like, okay, what do we do? Go online, look it up. And we ended up using, Arun has a great array of tools, power tools. So we used a reciprocating saw, you know, to kind of cut the end off one of these things, and then tried to drill out the shell on the inside, which
he
is
was
like
so
really
happy
tough.
To do that too for us.
And then we ended up with a conch that you can blow. It was really fun.
It has to accompany a song with a conch.
Yeah. This
we can't hear it very well.
Yeah, it's not the deep kind, but it's what we were given.
So, that's all with it.
That's the one. Keep calling me. Krishna's flute. I hear your flute.
Ready?
So, anyway, sure. Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the
song. Yeah, now we have to go to this one. Okay.
To death, I'm a stranger. Poor youth that I am. What destiny bears me hence to that shore? The chalice of life, scarce sipped at the brim, has slipped from my grasp and stains the dark floor.
Has life any meaning? The grail that men seek has never been found on earth. The fountain of youth are only a myth. None who ever roamed far in search of it ever found what he sought. Yet see how the night sky, which banishes the sun, is banished in time by the dawn. Death comes like a gypsy who camps on the way. At dawn his dark caravan's gone. To death I'm a stranger, yet strangest of all, the stranger I feared is a stranger no more. The shadow I feared but hides from the sun, in death there is peace on God's infinite shore. Yet see how the night sky, which banishes the sun, is banished in time by the dawn. Death comes like a gypsy who camps on the way. At dawn, his dark caravan's gone. Isn't that fun?
Yes, that was great. Really nice.
Imagine hearing all that for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Nailed it.
They liked the music, and they all people were. That was the thing about their being more relaxed. They were all trying to sing along,
uh-huh.
Even when it wasn't a sing along. They were just sort of. Yeah. People were just trying to put their own energy behind.
Yeah.
But you know, it's music like that.
Well,
yeah.
It was heavenly. It was a real honor. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that it was an honor to travel with these three people. Mm-hmm. They were absolutely stellar. Every single minute of the trip, there wasn't one minute when any of them let down. Kavita and her family, and Travis and Zeb too.
Yeah.
But just because these are my old and dear friends, amazing, just absolutely amazing, living examples of Master's teachings. Mm-hmm. Now we were together day and night for 3 weeks. There was not one minute of bad mood, crabbiness, reluctance, anything, just whatever it was, you know. They were just so wonderful. I felt it was a privilege.
It was.
It was also a heck of a good time.
Yeah.
And you know, just so you know, Dzogchen Jyoti is a treasure trove of talents. She really keeps it together on so many levels and makes everything beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But most of all, I don't know, dear. She knows how to give her heart to people.
Yeah.
Everybody's her friend. So she was a real teacher to me. I tend to be a little reserved, but she's just whoever walks in the door. Well, actually, all of them are that way. But it's really so. I knew, this is from the first trip too. But I just watched you do it again. I knew her less well before. She's well named.
It was easier this time.
Was it?
Yeah, a lot easier for me. Yeah.
It was fun seeing her just walk in and bring a bunch of cut flowers they'd gathered during the day and pull out the cloths and just kind of do this for a while. And you turn around and there's this gorgeous altar there. You know?
Oh. It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't.
No.
That's exactly right. It wasn't anybody. Yeah. That's what I meant. It was just, you were just living examples of Master's teachings. Mm-hmm. We must, all of us, travel more. Personal contact is very important. And any four of us, you know, could go out. I mean, I can speak, they can sing, she can make things beautiful, but any four of us, any five, any two, any one, because we just, we're living examples of master. It's no credit to us. I mean, it's in spite of.
Actually, I'll bring up that, which is that, you know, I have the thought a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised if you do too, that first of all, it's like, of course, a privilege to travel with Asha and be present at her classes anywhere.
Yeah.
But along with that, maybe you have the thought, it's like, gosh, I could never be Asha, you know, I could never talk like that. And that's kind of the standard that you use all the time. So it's probably not a good idea that we think like that, you know?
Yeah. You don't need to be Asha.
But I mean, probably as devotees, you know, and going out, we ought to like rethink about how God wants to just present stuff. And it's just us that it's, you know, he's going to present it as, instead of, I don't know if other people do this too, just automatically compare against Asha, Swami, fill in the blank, you know. So, anyway.
But that's exactly right. And the thing that is self-evident when you're in a place there is that, you know, and most interesting, same experience that I had last year, people, they approach them a lot more than they approach me. They recognize themselves. My experiences are, by this point, I'm getting, my experiences are too weird. But it's also, it's like, you know, there's a lot of different shapes and forms. And everybody just finds they match.
Yeah.
To compare is ridiculous. Because you're going to serve a different group of people in a different way.
It's a different way of serving. One can't really do without the other. It's a great combination, having someone who really can speak the truth from experience in 45 years of being with Swamiji, and then us who have come to the path in our own variety of ways and our functioning, you know, and learning to have a better life. They're just all wanting to know how we do it, and it's all the techniques and all the teachings and our great souls dressed in blue. Mm-hmm.
But it's yeah. I know what you're mm-hmm. saying, but it's really I want to be sure it gets left somewhere else. All of us should travel. Any four mm-hmm. of us can do this. If it's me, it looks a certain way. Mm-hmm. If it's someone else, it looks like them. Mm-hmm. I mean, naturally, when I travel, it looks like me. Who else would it look like? Mm-hmm. But it's really just a master-shaped object.
Right.
It's not you're not claiming it for yourself. It's not you. Mm-hmm. It's just our great guru can work through all of us. Mm-hmm.
And it would probably be really helpful in the smaller centers around the world that are evolving.
I wish we had a big travel budget, and I just wish it was another world, and that everybody could just keep making these teams up. I mean, they're trying to do that now, but we just need mm-hmm. to keep forming little alliances and rolling them down the hill mm-hmm. to somewhere, and then making another and rolling them off.
Well, but, and people do travel. Yeah. So whenever mm-hmm. you're going any place to see your family, just schedule in an extra day mm-hmm. and do a satsang somewhere. The newest person in the room has 1,000 times more to offer than you could possibly offer in a weekend.
Wait, yeah, and you don't have to do a formal program. You just go and sit in someone's living room.
And you would talk to who at the village to find
out? Well, if you want to do meditation, we went to visit Karen's family, so we did a satsang with the Denver meditation group.
But who would you talk to at the village?
Is Sana doing that now?
Sana Devi?
Sana.
Okay. Yeah.
But more than that, anyway, I do want to come back. I want to make sure it's said again. Mm-hmm. It was great.
It was.
that was a rare testimonial from her, and it's captured on film now. Mm-hmm. So you guys can watch it whenever you like. That's high praise. No, that's high praise. It's rare to be recognized in that, and to have a trip go so long with so much harmony is also rare.
The only one before it was the one before it. Actually, truthfully,
Ananda trips throughout all history, there are many exciting and interesting and not always harmonious.
But, to be fair, even though I say that, I've always had harmonious groups, and that's what impresses me is that you just put any group of Ananda people together, and we just love each other and have a great time. Yeah.
So it's 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Let's finish out, do a couple more songs. Three, actually, the two short ones. And the two short ones are because we did two Sunday services, and so Tanava thought, we might as well do some background music for You Remain Our Friend and Thy Light Within Is Shining.
Because it's a cappella, and most of the people there don't know it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I see. That's what you want me to sing?
Yes. But then you wouldn't be able to hear his guitar, so your choice.
You can sing. You'll
still hear. Yeah, just a good chord. Long we feared to face your love, lest our emptiness it prove. Now at last our hearts we give you, who remain our friend. Long we feared to face your love, lest our emptiness it prove. Now at last our hearts we give you, who remain our friend, who remain our friend.
We made these a cappella in the festival, but when you have people in the room who hardly know it, mm-hmm. it's really
yeah, it's
unique.
Nice to hear the musical background if they don't know oratorio or anything like that. You know?
Now we've been talking about adding harmonium to some of those a cappella ones so the audience could sing.
We weren't talking about the a cappella ones, were we?
I was thinking it'd be nice because it's hard.
Because here we have enough people.
But
you know,
I
know it and do the harmonies and everything.
We have new people though, and sometimes
I'm with you on that. I don't know why we should talk to somebody who we should ask a few people about it because I would like to put music behind it too. I think everybody would sing better. I don't know what it is. In Ananda Village, it's one thing where everyone in the audience is the choir, but it's quite different.
That's good.
Let's hear the other one.
Thy light within us shining has shone where freedom lies, from earthly walls confining to soar in spirit skies. How oft like sheep we've strayed apart, now guided by thy ray, in inner freedom of the heart, our night has turned to day.
And we'll finish with God's Call Within. Just because it's so juicy.
Listen, whispering within your soul, hints of laughter, hints of joy, sweet songs of sadness, of quenchless yearning for the light, for my love, your true home. Long your heart has played the dancer, long you've toyed with merest shadows of the treasures left behind you. Deep in your soul, long you've plumbed the dark for answers, long you've begged from beggars' empty hands gifts of life. They too were seeking gifts none could share. Friend, how long will you wander? Friend, as long as you seek your home in a land where all are strangers. Love locks her door. Leave to the weak his craven life, to the coward leave his dreaming. Oh, my saint, wake up, reclaim the light, seek the truth behind all seeming. Leave to the weak his craven life, to the coward leave his dreaming. Oh, my saint, wake up, reclaim the light, seek the truth behind all seeming. Turn, turn, turn within, in silence of soul, in cave of love, find my abode. Listen. Whispering within your soul, hints of laughter, hints of joy, sweet songs of sadness, of quenchless yearning for the light, for my love.
Let's say a prayer together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Friend, beloved God.
Friend, beloved God.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Babaji Krishna.
Babaji Krishna.
Lahiri Mahashaya.
Lahiri Mahashaya.
Swami Sri Yukteswar.
Swami Sri Yukteswar.
Beloved Master.
Beloved Master.
Paramhansa Yogananda.
Paramhansa Yogananda.
Saints of all religions.
Saints of all religions.
Humbly we bow to you all.
Humbly we bow to you all.
Bless each one of us.
Bless each one of us.
With the opportunity.
With the opportunity.
With the energy.
With the energy.
And the inspiration.
And the inspiration.
To hear your call.
To hear your call.
And to respond heart, mind, and soul.
And to respond heart, mind, and soul.
In every possible way.
In every possible way.
To be your instrument of light.
To be your instrument of light.
To everyone we meet.
To everyone we meet.
Om.
Om.
Peace.
Peace.
Amen. Let's send an Om blessing to our brothers and sisters in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. They're sort of our sister city, our sister country right now.
Yeah.
Things. There's a woman named Dipti from Gurgaon and her mother, who I'm sure has her own name, but I tend to know her as Dipti's mother. And they are at Ananda Village now. And they're, aren't they? Oh no, you're taking.
I hope not.
Yeah, because you're picking. Excuse me. Pause. Picking
them up
Charmel's,
in the morning.
Charmel's picking them up at the airport tomorrow morning to take them to Ananda Village. No, good point. But we would like to get a ride back for them from Ananda Village on May 19th. And so far we don't have.
Tuesday.
Tuesday after the weekend, because their trip is really short. They have an early morning flight on the 20th. Everybody's coming home in the 8 weeks, but from now until very close to the end of June, I'm actually only in Palo Alto one Sunday, the 31st of May. It's all domestic travel, either in Ananda Village this weekend. I'm going twice to Los Angeles and then to New York for 10 days. And then a short trip to Carmel with some of our Indian visitors. But so even though I'm going to be popping in and out, I'm really sort of on an 8-week tour. It's just that I will sleep in this house a certain number of weeknights. Just so I'll be seeing you all sort of like this, but only that 31st of May. So it's still lots of fun, but I just wanted to explain to you that I'm not avoiding you. It's just, since I've done 8-week trips before, it just sort of, it did happen by chance, but that's the way it's happened. But I will be here. You know, Jyotish and Devi are coming and the Goshas are coming. I'll be here during that period of time, but it's not going to be normal for me. So just
we can add you to our prayer list.
Please do it, because I'm coming and going along.
Do we have class next Tuesday?
I'm doing classes in June, not in May.
Okay, no.
There's some on the calendar.
So the last three, or somewhere in June, I'm trying to do three more, because Patanjali just wouldn't get finished.
June 6th.
Not next week.
No, nothing in May.
Okay. June.
It's the second, third. It starts the second Tuesday.
It says it on Marilyn's. It's on Chandra's.
That's right. No Tuesday class until June.
Okay,
so that's my whole story. It was great to see everyone.
Oh,
yeah. I'll be waving to you here and there, and then we'll all be in the crush. Many of us will be in the crush this weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.